timeless information for your self-care and health. HRNradio.com.
Hi, this is Risa Feldman, and you are listening to Epicurean Exploring. And as I like to point out before every show, I'm not a food critic. I'm not, when I say an expert, by any means in terms of critiquing food, but I'm an expert at eating or eating out, and I am a world traveler. I'm a luxury travel writer as well as publisher, and what I like to do for this program is to really bring people outside of their comfort zone and world and show them what's out there, where they can visit, what they can do, where they can dine that's different from their everyday life. And, you know, we all get so comfortable in returning to the same places and really picking the same items off the menu. And that's fine, too. I mean, gosh knows that I go to my favorite Italian restaurant and I always order the same thing. And, you know, but sometimes it's fun to mix it up. And you never know what you're going to like and what's out there, whether it's with travel or with food. So that's what I hope to bring to you, my listener, in this. And in this particular segment, I'm talking about Palm Springs. And I live in California, in Los Angeles, and it is such a nice getaway, not only for anyone in the country to go to, but just a quick little getaway, an hour and a half to 2 hours, to take off into the desert there, and it feels like you're in an oasis. You get away from the hubbub and all the traffic and everything that Los Angeles represents, and sometimes you forget that it's so close. You don't have to jump on a plane to go far to feel away from everything. And I had a great, great time with a new discovery of mine. And I went to a place that is called The Parker in Palm Springs, and it was so unique. I just happened to go online and look up Palm Springs getaways. I was in need of someplace to go to about 2 months ago, and this popped up, and I hadn't heard of it. I hadn't had any friends that had stayed there before, and I looked at it, and it just looked really super cool. So that's what I wanted to talk about, and this show is going to be about The Parker, and then three dining experiences that I had while I was in Palm Springs, and I was lucky enough to have my parents with me on those three dining experiences. But to talk about this hotel, the property is called The Parker Palm Springs, and it has such a storied history. It dates back to the late 1950s, and then really it had a reincarnation in 2004, and it became as Jonathan Adler, who is a known, world-known designer. He designed the boutique property under Le Méridien brand, and that put the hotel on the map now for, you know, a great destination for discerning, design-loving visitors. So it's been around for about 10 years now, and the Parker just celebrated, right, its 10-year anniversary. And just to give a little background of it, too, you pull up, and all you see is this huge wall of a white, funky-looking, just a huge wall. I mean, that's super tall. You can't see behind it. It's bright red doors. There's nothing on the outside that says the name, and you just wonder, you know, where you are. It just looks super retro and super unique. I haven't seen anything like it. And if you go to Epicurean Exploring on Instagram or the Facebook page, you will see photos of what I'm talking about during this entire segment. So you walk in, and you're just immediately, you're transported. It's just really retro, eccentric. Every different color, every different texture in furniture and in ambiance. And the property itself got its start in 1959. And you ready for this? It was California's first Holiday Inn. It was purchased in 61 then by, if everyone remembers, the singing cowboy, Gene Autry. And Autry's intention for the property was really to house his newly acquired baseball team, which was the Angels, during spring training. And so he changed the name to the Melody Ranch. And that, you know, although the property was often referred to as the Autry Hotel, he really set out to add new amenities and a pool and tennis courts and restaurants. And then in 1994, Autry wound up selling the property to Rose Narva. And Rose Narva partnered with the fashion designer Free Group, Givenchy, to transport this hotel into like a Versailles-inspired establishment. And so that became in the Givenchy Hotel and Spa. So if you're following me, this is some great history of how it's just switched hands, switched people, designers, owners, and following the sale of the property, Autry and his wife, they remain living at the property in a two-bedroom, two-bathroom private home that really became known as the Gene Autry residence. And now you can stay there as guest accommodation. I didn't get to see it myself, but I heard it's spectacular. Well, then, in 1998, the hotel was purchased by TV personality Merv Griffin, and it was renamed again to the Merv Griffin Resort Hotel and Givenchy Spa. So the hotel was frequented by celebrities at that point. Robert Downey Jr. was arrested while staying at that hotel following an anonymous tip that he was doing drugs there. It became very sort of secretive and underground and this hush-hush sort of place where celebrities can go and be very private and discreet. And again, then, in 2002, you ready, the property sold again. So now Merv Griffin sold it, and it remained vacant for a year until it was purchased by a hotelier named Jack Parker. At this point, Parker enlisted the designer Jonathan Adler to lead a $27 million renovation of the property. And then back in from the 2004 style, that was the Parker Palm Springs. So this is on 13 acres. It was just completely reimagined in the style that Adler likes to call really hippie chic. So it's, as I said, an eclectic mix of just vintage treasures, decorating the guest rooms, the common spaces, everything. And I'll get to it, but the hotel's spa, which is really, really cool, they call it the Yacht Club, Palm Springs Yacht Club. It's just really exquisite. It's one of my favorites that's in Palm Springs, and something that looks so different. You really feel like you're walking into a yacht club. There's a couple of restaurants on the property, and it really remains a favorite among celebrities and people. The pictures, you must go to Epicurean Exploring, because as I said, you really haven't seen anything quite like the decor, or I haven't. And I'm, again, this is what I do for a living. I travel around, and I was so impressed by it. To talk about, you know, the rooms there just a little bit more, the residences, you know, for instance, if they were just white, like freestanding structures, and this huge front lawn, and there's little maze pathways that go in between to get to the different aspects of the property. And it really feels like you're just so separated from everywhere else in Palm Springs. And the characteristic of this mid-century architecture defines Palm Springs as like a low-slung, horizontal planes of architect, white slump block cladding. And this I'm not making up. This is obviously I'm reading it because I couldn't figure out what that's called, but white slump block cladding. And they have this indoor-outdoor interior with open-air passages to these private enclosed patios, croquet areas, there's fire pit areas, there's lawns that have big artistic structures in them. I mean, you're talking about really unique design. You have to have a lot of talent to be able to come up with what it looked like. And by design, just both transitional and transformative, it really serves guests to be either very private or just to roam into these, like, a hideaway of seclusion, I would say. And it's just something really unique. But there's 12 perfectly situated standalone villas. And the villas are really a home. So you would go probably with a few people, but it stands away from the rest of the property. And all the villas are configured as one-bedroom suites with large, comfortable living rooms, dining rooms, private, you know, hedges, enclosed patios so no one can see in. But then they open up into another villa, so that's why you can go with a family or a few friends. The rest of the decor, which is just like decadent, I say decadent is divine. And that's really, you get about a 600 square foot of just pure, sexy, eclectic style. And, for instance, the room that I stayed in, it had this really sexy four-poster bed, and that was complemented by this vibrant red chair, like a huge red leather chair. And then aside from that, it was, if that's not like enough, they have like this gold lame pool all over the place. And my luxury bathroom just had this cool marble, but then turquoise colored and blue colored and bright yellows. And they have it's called, I'm ready for this, the party shower. That was in my second bathroom. And yeah, I guess there were a lot of parties that took place in the shower. I did not have that opportunity to have a party shower, but it was, it's made this huge shower that has enough room for as many people as you want to fit in there, probably about 8 people. And I'm sure that there's a lot of stories that go behind that one. When you step in your outdoor patio space, it's this like lush tropical garden that's accented by whatever scent of the season, lavender, roses, you know, with just lilies, they're all over. And again, absolutely beautiful. There's a few poolside rooms And these poolside rooms, there's two different pools, and they have just tons of bougainvillea all over the patios. And you just, you wake up, you can just, you know, throw off your sheets, and you go across your terrace, and there's just this beautiful pool in front of you you can dive right into that's on the other side of your patio. Just a gem of a pool. They really had a really nice thought process in mind when they created it. As well as the hammock room. There's a space that's this clean, minimal line patios that have a striking, like a cube bed, I'd say. It's just like juxtaposed against like Moroccan textiles. It's just grass papered ceilings, embellished rows all over. And what they call it is a wink to tradition with a duo of poppy red sitting chairs. And it really is just a perfect mashup style. They just grab everything. And when they throw it all together, I swear, if anybody else didn't, it wouldn't look cool. But this is crisp, it's happy, it's modern. It's a whole outdoor sitting area that you could just roam to find. There's also double rooms, these deluxe double rooms that are just easygoing and laid-back luxury. They're calling this the dazzling, happy chic Jonathan Adler style and design. It's like indulgent, plush, soft linens, old Hollywood touches are everywhere. They're just adoring all the walls, as well as ceramic, pottery, and that was just especially created for the Parker Palm Springs. But again, the bathrooms are luxurious and they feature eclectic collections of designer amenities. I mean, your soap dish that I had there was an Hermes branded soap dish. I mean, where do you see that? Where do you get that? They just, it's really excess needs and values when you think about it. So after talking about the rooms, I wanted to touch upon some other aspects of the property because, again, just there's so much to discuss. Going back to the spa, which is called, again, the Palm Springs Yacht Club, you must go to Epicurean Exploring page to look at these pictures. It is deservedly its own destination within the grounds of the Parker Estate. It is just, you've never seen anything like this. And really, it's a freestanding emporium of just, you know, you have your all your custom treatments and wellness regimens there. Very low-key, but it's just soft, you know, indulgences there. You get your cotton terry robe, your flip-flops, you know, everything like that. But it's spectacular with white and blue. You feel like you are on a yacht. There's an indoor pool, but basically it's blue, navy, high ceilings. Just picture just the most decadent-looking yacht spa, and that's what you get if you go to this. I hadn't seen anything like it, so again, I can't, you know, say enough things about it, how incredible. Okay, let's talk about the pools there. There are a couple of different pools, and it's for, like, every mood that you have. So, you know, deserts and pools make good company, obviously. They deserve each other, and they're the perfect complement. But the one in that I stayed at is just this gorgeous, you know, where you can eat, drink, be merry, meditate. There's just beautiful spots all along the poolside that you could eat, that you could drink and sit under a canopy. There's private little cabanas. It's whatever you want it to be, there is. There's a huge pool that's for families, and then, of course, there's one that's just for adults where I stayed. And the Dinatry pool is just gorgeous. But, again, you have to go there for yourself to check it out. There's a lot of amenities, too, at the hotel. And what I'm going to talk about is the restaurants, because the restaurants are different from what you have experienced as well anywhere else. Mr. Parker's, which I'm going to talk about with my guest in the next segment, after commercial break, I'll save. But there's a place called Norma's. And Norma's is just this outdoor, well, it's outdoor-indoor, brightly colored, open-air terrace restaurant that serves breakfast all day and night. Mind you, the concept of breakfast at Norma's is just a no-holds-barred extravaganza of just decadent proportions. It's huge, enormous. I mean, I'd say five people could share one dish. And the thing is, they don't even tell you that. But there's no denying that it's just this ridiculous amount of food that comes, and it's gorgeously prepared. So, you know, spare the minimalist, you know, simplicity of poached eggs and half a grapefruit and go with, like, maximalist with any, like, the French toast, waffle, pancake concoctions. They have gluten-free, they have vegan, they have vegetarian, and they change it up as you please. But this is just a gorgeous, gorgeous location. It's cozy, votive lit, discreet at night, and the menu changes over a little bit. But I've never seen such decadent of concoctions that they come up with. There's now also a wine bar, Counter Reformation, which is, it's a shrine to great wine. Basically, it is bar seating and ledge sort of looming, rule of thumb, I'd say. And it's the seat of local life. A lot of people who live in Palm Springs come to this. So it's crowded with regulars at the counter waiting to try wine. But they have this, it looks like almost a cave. And in this cave, it's an eclectic curation of wine by the glass, small plated food that you could have, and then also this little tasting smorgasbord and flights of wine. So it's more than just an amuse-bouche. It's more than an amuse-bouche, I'd say, but less than a serving. And it's just there for exploration, for variety, for discovery. You could have any libation you want, and it's such a beautiful ambiance. It's just red lit with all Mediterranean tiles, and again, such a beautiful place if you're in Palm Springs. You don't have to be staying at the hotel to go enjoy a glass of wine there. Then there's something called the mini bar. And this mini bar, I'm talking, is for maybe four people. And it's a bar intimate and grandiose at the same time. It's designed like basically a jewel box, or you think you're in the I Dream of Jeannie's bottle. It's tiny. It's dark. It's emerald stone facings with mirrored accents. And these sconces and these lucite stools that you're sitting on. So you can pull up a chair. You can just christen it as your own and have some champagne, have a little gin. You could have a ruby-colored Negroni, which they're known for. So it's right before dinner, I would say, stop in or right after. But again, it's only about 4 feet wide. And so it's just this really unique space that has become super popular. And there's a suspended, ready for this, it's a suspended fireplace also. I know that's hard to explain how it's a suspended fireplace, but go to check it out in my pictures. I'm going to have it. Right across from this little bar, there's some, like, love-seeking couches and hanging chairs as well. And so you could sit right outside the bar, get your drink if there's no space to sit, and then sit right outside. It's really part mod, part modern, but all very, very comfortable. So you could drink, you could eat, be merry, this cutest little mini bar as possible. Back out at the pool is something called the lemonade stand. And this lemonade stand has everything that you can imagine for a hotel pool, restaurant, and bar. It's just right next door to tennis courts, and it's charming. It has all lemon-themed. It's bright yellow striped, and if you have to, you have an experience basically the property if you don't make at least one stop to the lemonade stand. But you could order poolside, you could sit like under the striped awning, and it's just absolutely adorable. Although this, to be noted, is for registered state guests only. In order to walk back there, you have to be part of the hotel. And then the last that I want to talk about is something called the Mrs. Parker's. And that they're calling it the world's smallest restaurant. And for this, you could, whether it's for a proposal, an engagement, an anniversary, no matter what the occasion, there's no experience really that could be more intimate or exclusive than this one. It's just, they set up this romantic table for two, and it's set right at the Gene Autry pool, just after sunset. So you could sip champagne, soak in the stars, dine outside, you have your own butler, your own chef. I mean, it doesn't get better than this. For decadence and for luxury and for something that's so different. So, again, we're talking about the Parker in Palm Springs, which is just a fabulous restaurant and hotel. And we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about three restaurants that are located between Palm Desert and Palm Springs, both Mr. Parker, La Siga, and Wilma and Frida, when we come back after a commercial break.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Epicurean Exploring. And we've been talking about the decadence that Palm Springs offers and how incredible this hotel was that I had the opportunity to stay at, which is the Parker, and the history about it and the layout and the style and the eclecticness and everything that goes along with, I said, this wonderful find, which I can't wait to return to. And now what I'd like to do is in the next three segments is talk about three great dining experiences that I had, the first being at the hotel and the restaurant being Mr. Parker. And as my guest, I have my dad, I was lucky enough that my parents were staying in Palm Springs, and they were able to join me in three delicious tasting meals. So, Dad, thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
And since my dad is such a foodie and I love having him as a guest, he hasn't been on in about 2 years, I decided to bring him on, and he's so great at discussing what we dined with. But just to describe the restaurant, I'll jump in and say, you know, this Mr. Parker's, it's a little bit hidden. There's just a door, and you don't even know, like, what's behind this closed door, which is next to that mini bar that I discussed. But you open up the door, and you're led to this dark, sort of discreet and decadent-looking interior. It's just over-the-top decor, and they're calling it under-the-tank mischief. You could just tell it oozes with, like, secrets. You just know that there's things that went on there. And it's a watering hole that's just befitting to the dreamy aesthetics of it. It's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, when you walk in, you're looking around, and there's pictures on the walls that represent drugs, sex, and rock and roll, basically. And they're calling it a guy's place with a menu to match. And there's this Epicurean savory favorites that the chef has come up with, his own personal inspiration. But we walked in, and we were the first to get there. And when they led us to the table, the first thing they did was hand us some champagne, and which was, you know, wonderful. So, Dad, you know, take it away. With what was your first impression when we walked into it, the restaurant?
Well, you know, it really was surprising because of the low level of light. It looks really like you're going into a speakeasy that you know, existed during Prohibition. It gave that kind of atmosphere. And as you mentioned, as soon as we were seated at a table, they were pouring glasses of champagne. And I noted that it wasn't just for us. Everybody that came in subsequent to our arrival was handed a glass of champagne. So that must be, you know, the standard for the restaurant.
Exactly, and what was so beautiful was how it was laid out. So in the champagne, you know, they have the buckets of champagne that's laid out in the middle of the restaurant with these beautiful champagne glass booths all around it. So really, when you walk
exactly.
in, that's
I mean, that,
right
that was
so,
really
such a pretty, yeah.
It's just a very pretty setting, and you mentioned the pictures on the wall. They added to the decor. They were lit very subtly, and you know, it was really great. And what interested me is sitting at the table along with the menu that they handed you. They handed you a flashlight.
I forgot about that.
In the low light situation there was no way you could possibly read the menu unless you pulled your own cell phone out to light up the page. They thought of that and handed you a flashlight that you could scan up and down the page and read exactly what was there. So that was a great touch and added to the atmosphere of the room.
Right, and when we were there, I had dined there once before, which was just a regular, when I say regular menu. When we were there, you know, you, me, and Mom, we had a tasting menu to choose from. And so that was interesting that, you know, it was, I can't remember the price offhand for a 3 or 4 course dinner. I think it was maybe $75 or $80 for an entree, second course, a first course, and then your entree and then a dessert. And we all got something different at the table.
Right. We all ordered different things. I know, if I'm not mistaken, you ordered the chilled green pea soup.
Yes.
With a mascarpone quenelle, which quenelles I've always associated with fish, but this was a quenelle which is like a dumpling made with mascarpone cheese.
Well, I didn't even hear of that term before, and I'm an Epicurean explorer, I like to say I am, and I've never heard that term quenelle before. So when it said, you know, mascarpone quenelle, I had no idea. So I'm always glad, Dad, when you're with me because I get to ask you those things. So that, yeah.
I know. I remember I had the crispy smoked octopus. That to me was intriguing because I love octopus, and this one was both cooked and then smoked, and it was crispy in that they must grill it, I assume, to give the the octopus legs that crisp taste. And that was served with a lobster sausage, so that they must take lobster meat and grind it up and convert it into a sausage, and that was served in a bouillon of sorts, which also had a lobster flavor. For me, that was a great way to start a meal. But,
oh, yeah.
I don't know if you recall, they put on the table before that a couple of Mediterranean dishes. They put on a hummus and a baba ganoush. There were some olives, feta cheese, and that was served with pita bread. So you could dip, in those various Mediterranean dips. That was, and those were all very tasty. My problem is, I was afraid to fill up on those. Having looked at the menu, I knew what was coming later. That was great.
Right. And then for the main, I know we're not going to have that much time, but for both of our mains, Dad, did you get the beef trio?
I got the veal trio.
Oh, the veal trio. Okay.
Yeah, the veal trio, which I couldn't finish. I mean, it killed me to leave that some of that over, but there was a veal loin that was served, I guess it was roasted and, sliced, and then there was there were veal sweetbreads, which
right.
I love, and they were served nice and crispy, which is the way I prefer them. The third course, part of that trio, I think was a fillet, a veal fillet.
Uh-huh.
Was tender.
It was.
That was something I could have, cut with my fork, and that was with a mushroom, kind of a hash.
Uh-huh.
Which was outstanding. I mean, but I know you enjoyed. You had duck, I think, and Mom had lobster.
Yeah, I just think that it's such an incredible restaurant. You find that restaurants in hotels can be overrated, and you think that you have to go off-site to get a great meal. And this one, with between the history, the ambiance, the selection, and the taste, I mean, it's a fantastic, fantastic dinner and not to be missed. If you're in
I would go back in a heartbeat.
Me too.
I loved it. I mean, I can't think of anything that I did not like about this restaurant.
Exactly. Well, kudos to Mr. Parker's in the Parker Hotel. We're going to come back after a commercial break, and we are going to talk about another fantastic dinner that we had at Wilma and Frida's. So we'll be right back with my dad and Epicurean Exploring.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret. Now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
Welcome back to Epicurean Exploring. I am here with my dad, who I was with my dad and my mom recently in Palm Springs for a week. And during that week, we had the opportunity to dine at a few restaurants together. And I decided to have my dad, who's the ultimate foodie and fantastic writer and wine guy and you name it, on my show as a guest. I love going out to dinner with my dad, but he's really the one who taught me everything I know and sense of adventure. So, Dad, thanks for that.
For giving me that sense.
So, yes, it was so much fun that we got to spend some time in Palm Springs together. And the next restaurant that I want to talk about was really cool. It was called, I know that, Dad, this was your find originally. So he had told me about, he did his research and found out about something called Wilma and Frida. And Wilma and Frida is a restaurant that was named after the owner's grandmothers, two grandmothers, Wilma and Frida. And Wilma was a character known for always wearing her cat eye glasses, while Frida was best known for her amazing ability to make dinner for, they said, 20 people in a heartbeat. So in their honor, Wilma and Frieda serve comfort food with a twist. And their claim is that they offer all your favorite dishes from childhood with a grown-up flavor profile. And they have two restaurants, sort of a farmhouse cafe, and then another Stodd restaurant. And Kelly, who's one of the owners, a little bit, you know, about her. She's this lively, wonderful woman. And we had the opportunity, actually, I had the opportunity of eating both for breakfast at one of the restaurants and then going to the other restaurant for dinner. And again, for breakfast, this is my dad and I had dinner together. But for breakfast, I had, you know, blackberry custard French toast with a house-made blackberry sauce. They do the most killer, killer just egg sandwiches, Bloody Marys with bacon, with, you know, your olives. You just name it. It is everything is there that you can imagine for a farmhouse breakfast. But now, next to get on to the dinner, Dad, you know, we went down into the middle, the night of the Sixth Street Fair, and we had a great table overlooking the street fair, so it almost felt like we were in New Orleans. But give me now your sense of the restaurant when we first got there.
Well, you know, knowing that they only serve dinner on Thursday, I guess it's Thursday and Friday and Saturday, or
right.
Maybe it's just Friday and Saturday and Sunday, but getting there that night, every Thursday, yeah, I guess it was Thursday, because every Thursday night they have the Village Fest in Palm Springs, where they get over 180 vendors lining the street at Palm Canyon Drive. And this restaurant, these little French balconies overlook Palm Canyon Drive. So there's music in the street and, you know, crowds of people and the vendors. It's really a very festive atmosphere. So being able to sit there and eat dinner while all this is going on below you is really terrific. I thoroughly enjoyed that setting. As soon as we sat down, they offered us specialty drinks that they make. And to be honest with you, I was actually thinking of what wine to order, so I wasn't really concentrating on the drinks too much. I know Mom had like a martini or some chocolate martini,
right.
And she's not much of a drinker, but she loved that drink. She finished it. The first thing they did for food, they put down what they call a plowman's lunch on the table, and this was served in a very ornate box, and it had the pimento cheese with an olive tapenade and these toasted, thick-cut breads. I say toasted, they were actually grilled. You could see the grill marks on the bread.
Okay.
And then cornichons, the little pickles.
Right.
And stuffed olives and then some fruits, dried apricots and grapes. And so it made a very nice starter to wet your whistle while you're eating these things. I know each of us ordered different appetizers and entrees. The thing that I ordered was the short ribs, which were fall off the bone braised short ribs in a very rich and thick sauce made, must have been a very good red wine I made it with, because the sauce was so tasty. The problem you often get with the braised short ribs is that they add a little too much salt, and so it gets a little bit of a salty flavor. These were perfectly made, perfectly spiced. I loved every bit of it. And then I know we shared each other's meals. Mom had the shrimp and grits.
Yep. Shrimp and grits, your favorite.
Yeah. She had these large prawns cooked with Spanish sausage, you know, chorizo with a very nice cheesy grit and green onion blend. And really, it was a typical Southern dish, even though we were in Palm Springs, that made me feel like I was sitting in in Savannah, Georgia, or some such place. This was really a great dish. If I'm recalling correctly, you had a roasted chicken, or was
yeah.
that? Oh, no, you had a fry. It was a fried chicken. It was like breaded and fried, but it was thin. It was a thin fried chicken, but it was crisp.
Right.
With the corn.
Yeah, I just told them they had this, yeah, the corn. I think corn was with the mashed potato, and I just told me
yes,
to bring it. Yeah, I just said, I think I said just bring it, whatever, because everything looked so good, and I knew that they were going to have a sample of a few things. So it was, again, delicious. I think we all loved, you know, what we each ordered, but, of course, we all shared. And so the chili and corn, or the corn mashed potatoes was wonderful. It's always one of my favorites.
Yeah, and I know I you were drinking a cocktail, and Mom was drinking her cocktail. I ordered a glass of wine off the Wines by the Glass list, and it was really a very nice, full-bodied red Zinfandel, which I found was excellent. Perfect to go along with my short rooms.
Right. And, you know, really, I forgot with Mom, you know, to say that Mom isn't, you know, really obviously a drinker. You know, she'll have a glass of wine at dinner, and but she never drinks, typically, she'll never order a cocktail. I mean, I've never known Mom, other than literally in Palm Springs, two different times, to enjoy a cocktail. And that one that you were talking about that we got at the beginning, that she was the one who really loved it so much. It was a peanut butter martini. The peanut butter, it was velvety. It was this Godiva white chocolate liqueur. No wonder why she liked it. It was vanilla vodka. And then they put real crunchy peanut butter around the rim of the glass.
Right,
so I remember
right.
that because that was just, oh, my gosh. That's like a dessert, you know, delicious dessert. But, yeah, Wilma and you know, Frida, what a great find, both for brunch, for breakfast, for dinner. Again, someplace that you must visit, both in Palm Springs, in Palm Desert. You can go to either one. But we had such a fantastic experience there, and I want to just thank Kelly for that. She has something growing really good, and thanks to the grandmas for inspiring her to open
this up. Absolutely.
Exactly. Well, we're going to come back to another restaurant. And last but definitely not least, we'll be back with La Siga, talking about La Siga. We'll be right back.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
Welcome back once again to Epicurean Exploring. And gosh, during the commercial break, we're saying that we're getting hungry, talking, recapping our experiences in Palm Springs and Palm Desert, having a couple of wonderful, wonderful meals. We were very lucky for such a great experience and being hosted by such wonderful restaurants there. The last restaurant that I wanted to discuss with my dad, this one, I mean, they all stand out. So there's no favorites, but in terms of an Italian dinner experience, this by far is one of the top that I've ever had. And I had been hearing about this restaurant, which is called La Siga, for quite some time. And basically, La Siga, it's this magnificent Tuscan-style villa surrounded by rose gardens, herb beds, fruit trees. There's three gazebos. It's just this beautiful indoor area and patio that wraps around the entire restaurant, and a spectacular, spectacular view of the mountains. And so that's the first thing when you pull up, it's the first thing you see. You feel like you're in Tuscany. And I mean, I've been to Tuscany a year ago, and this really transports you right there. And the owners of this exquisite setting is Vince and Connie. And Vince and Connie Cotrero, they provided this unbelievable Italian cuisine for the whole valley. So, Dad, you know, I know, you know, beforehand you didn't know really too much about La Siga and how much Vince is a multi-award-winning chef. And he's cooked for prime ministers and other heads of state and ambassadors and movie stars and international business leaders, and that Connie, who's the hostess, just ensures that, you know, each and every guest receives this impeccable service. But again, I'll ask you, when you walked in, you know, give me your first impressions, and let's just dive into what we've got to sample.
Well, like you say, I mean, I've been to Tuscany too, and this reminded me of a typical setting in Italy where you go outside, and led over to one of those gazebos that you mentioned at the beginning. And, you know, one step up, we're sitting on this, in this gazebo around a table facing the exterior of the restaurant, which is set with tables and strung with lights up above. It looked like Christmas, even though it was, you know, 95 degrees in Palm Springs that day. It was just a gorgeous setting, you know, not too hot and not too cold, and just a perfect little breeze blowing. Our waitress, who was from Italy, was just delightful to work with. I ordered a bottle of Valpolicella Rapasso wine, which many have called a baby Amarone. Excellent wine to go with the dinner. We didn't even know what we were getting yet, but perfect accompaniment. I think the first thing she brought us was a large meatball. It was a veal and pork meatball made in a tomato sauce, but it was unlike any meatball I've ever had. You know, I don't think there was any filler in it, spiced perfectly. All of us enjoyed it, I know. And the nice thing is, there were four of us for the dinner, and there was enough for the four of us to share, and we all felt like we had gotten a nice little appetizer portion. The second thing they brought, and I like sausage very much, their sausage of the house was a pork sausage made with, you know, spicy, almost like a hot Italian sausage, but it was grilled and sliced. And again, the one sausage link, a large link, was enough for the four of us to get pretty good taste. And it was served with a homemade mustard and herb sauce, which was terrific, you know, perfect accompaniment to that sausage. Excellent, excellent.
And, you know, I don't know that, I don't know, well, we knew when we were there, but it's to let our listeners know that this was Vega. They grind their own meat. They make their own sausage. They flavor it.
Oh, yeah, it was all homemade.
With their own oils. I mean, it's all truly homemade. They fly in daily their fish. I mean, just so everyone knows, it is by far the freshest quality and the most homemade that you can get. I mean, every single thing is homemade, which is and organic and, you know, no hormones or antibiotics in any of their meat. So they are a stickler with that. So, and you could, there is a great difference. That's why it tasted melt in your mouth and the flavors were incredible. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about homemade and melt in your mouth. The next thing she brought out was a pappardelle pasta, which they make in-house, and they served it with a truffle oil. They called it a preserved truffle oil, and it really had an intense truffle flavor. And for anybody that's ever had, you know, fresh truffles, they know that that flavor is intense. This was even more intense. Plus, it was served with a light cream sauce, which was then sprinkled with an Asiago cheese, freshly grated for us over that pappardelle pasta. That's the one dish that I had that I wish I had eaten the whole dish. I mean, it was so so good. It's making my mouth water right now.
They
served a number of different entrees. They brought out a veal scallopini with shrimp. These were these tiger prawns that they, I guess, had also grilled or sautéed, served with the veal scallopini. It was just outstanding. There was mozzarella cheese on the veal, sprinkled with lemon juice and white wine. And that was served with some vegetables. There was a broccoli or a broccolini and some potato dish served with it. I don't recall exactly, but
everything. Well, I was in a food coma at that point, and I didn't even think that I tasted that one because I was so full from eating so much of the sausage, the meatball, the pappardelle, that I was waiting for the bronzino. I was waiting for the fifth dish that I knew was coming out, which was the last dish before dessert that we had.
The scallops. Is that what you're talking about?
Yep.
Well, I know they brought out these large scallops.
Right. Oh, right. That was after.
And then they brought out a bronzino, which was grilled, and that was also outstanding. Those two fish courses were excellent. I could eat either one of them over and over without getting tired of them.
Exactly. Well, this restaurant, again, just to sum it up, you know, La Spiga, which is in Palm Desert, it was by far one of the best Italian dinners I have ever had. I mean, my top, I always say, is in Phuket at this restaurant, Aqua. But this one, Aqua might be pushed over now, and La Spiga might be up there. And we're talking about a Jersey girl who dined in Little Italy her whole life and has been all over Italy and Amalfi Coast. But this one, this really wins my award. It was spectacular, and I can't wait to go again. They just did an amazing job between the ambiance. And, Dad, I want to thank you. You're a wonderful guest. I love how you recall all the details, and can't wait to eat out with you and Mom again next time I'm back home.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks so much. And, again, look at Epicurean Exploring on Instagram and Epicurean Exploring on Facebook to see pictures of all of the restaurants and the hotel that we talked about. Thanks so much.